Yesterday on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminded us that no one is immune from failure. Even those who follow God with passion and focus, even the good and godly, all of us are human and imperfect. On today's program, Chuck continues our study in Genesis 12. It's here we find the startling scene where Abram compromised. He misrepresented the truth. It was a tragic mistake he would regret for a long time. Even still, Scripture refers to Abraham as the friend of God. We're about to hear a remarkable story of failure, forgiveness, and grace when the faithful fail.
Genesis 12 is a chapter that stands in contrast with itself. For the first 9 verses, we have Abraham vertically connected. Here is a man we respect, we admire. At the age of 75, God says, "Leave Ur of the Chaldeans, move out, bring your wife with you, but leave your family, leave the idolatry of your past, and go to where I will show you to go." And Abram, without a fight, without resistance, left. How we admire that. In verse 10, something happens. Here's the contrast. Verses 1 through 9, Abram is all over it, spiritually speaking, until the test comes. We read, "Now there was a famine in the land." And wouldn't you know it, homeopathy kicks in. Rather than saying, "Oh Lord God, the one I have worshipped when I left Ur, the one I worshipped in Haran, the one I have worshipped along the journey toward the place you're going to show me, the one I have trusted in, I will rely on you in this time of famine. You who have provided my every need will continue to..." There's none of that. You'll read nothing of prayer in the last half of Genesis 12, because he doesn't pray. He operates on his own, as we often refer to it. He operates in the flesh from here on, and we'll see how it works its way out. Rather than trusting God, he gives way to fear and panic. He begins to handle things on his own. And from here to the end of the chapter, you'll read nothing of prayer. You'll read nothing of the Lord guiding Abram. As a matter of fact, Abram escapes. Why? Because, humanly speaking, there's food in Egypt. There are provisions there, and he's got a mouth to feed in Sarah, and another in his nephew Lot, his own. And no doubt there were servants, there were animals along with them in the journey, and he's watching them die one by one. The Lord said, "Trust me right now, Abraham." He doesn't actually audibly say that, but Abraham knew to do that, but he chose not to. So we read of a divine test. "There was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe." Here is a human reaction. There's a quick escape at the end of verse 10 into verse 11. "The famine was severe in the land. It came about when he came near to Egypt that he said to Sarah..." Wait. Homeopathy is about to kick in. You're about to watch it happen. Sarah got a great idea. Verse 11 again. "He said to Sarah, his wife, 'See now, I know that you are a beautiful woman, and it will come about when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live." Now, who's he looking out for? Don't you think? You know, they're going to kill me, but they're going to let you live. So I got a good idea. "Say you're my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you." Notice where his eyes are. Homeopathy keeps eyes on self, takes advantage of others, puts others in harm's way to save one's own skin, to save face, to get through a test. They will kill me, but they'll let you live. So tell them you're my sister. Now, before you get ready to stone Abram, that was a half-truth. You may not know it, but Scripture teaches in Genesis 20 that they have the same father, but a different mother. He married his half-sister. So let's forget the half part. And let's forget the wife part. Just say, you're my sister. Okay, practice it. I'm his sister. Good. Once again, a little more convincingly. I'm his sister. All right, let's read on. Say you're my sister so it may go well with me because of you and I may live on account of you. Came about, watch. It came about when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh. Have you seen this old guy with this beautiful woman at his side? And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. No protection. Left her in harm's way. As a matter of fact, wouldn't you know it, the next verse says, he's really living large, man. Look at this. Therefore, Pharaoh treated Abram well for her sake and gave him sheep, oxen, donkeys, and male, female servants, female donkeys, and camels. No more famine there, baby. I got meat out back. I got servants around. Some are waving palm fronds, keeping me cool. How cool is this? You say, how could a guy like that do that? Homoiopathies. Because he's got your nature and mine. And because he's operating from that nature, there are no limits. And then there comes a day when the Lord says, that's enough. That's it. That's it. That's it. You're not going to protect her? I am. Verse 17. The Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. Notice how the Lord puts it, not sister, Abram's wife. He struck the house of Pharaoh with plagues. Great plagues, plural. So before night falls, the guy starts to break out in sores, starts to run a fever. To make matters worse, he hears that it's happened to his harem and the servants, they're not here anymore because they're sick in bed and some cattle are dying out back. And all hell is breaking loose. And Pharaoh realizes something that's got to be related to this. Pharaoh has more discernment than Abram did. And so he calls Abram, verse 18, and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? How does he know it? Maybe she told Pharaoh finally. Or maybe it just dawned on him, this can't be a sister he's traveling with. Well, why did you tell me she's your sister? Now then, here's your wife. Take her and get out. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him. They escorted him away with his wife and all that belonged to him. Pretty sad conclusion. Wonder how Pharaoh would feel about Abram's witnessing to him about his God. There's a proverb that says this. Write it down. Proverbs 18:19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a citadel. Isn't that picturesque? Proverbs 18:19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Pharaoh's offended. He wants nothing to do with Abram and certainly nothing to do with his so-called God. which is the ugly side of homoiopathies. You know, it's remarkable. God could have led Abram in a direction that would have resolved the famine. He wasn't called upon. He could have met his needs, but he wasn't trusted. He could have opened a door for a witness to Pharaoh that could have changed the life of the man and the country of Egypt. But he wasn't given the opportunity. Abram's too busy operating in the flesh. The result is that Abram and Sarai are quickly given the brush off. Get out. Some of you have yet to be won to Christ because you still live in the offense of a Christian who ripped you off, or lived a lie, or took advantage of you, or one that meant much to you. You want nothing to do with his God or her God. Pharaoh's not available for a strong witness, Abram. You've ruined your opportunity. So they're given the brush off and off they go, licking their wounds. Five lessons we learn. I want you to write them down. You're going to need them sooner rather than later, and you're going to realize how apropos they are as you begin to live out life and come across that severe famine. Number one, there is a famine in every life. There is a famine in every life. Sometimes they fall in the category of a severe famine, and your legs are knocked out from under you and flat on your back. You have no way to look but up. Listen to me. The famine is never accidental. It doesn't mean we're forgotten. It means we're being tested. It never falls outside God's sovereignty. God is in the heavens. Psalm 115:3. He does whatever he pleases. What a perfect moment to call on the God of Israel, the Lord God, your Savior. But you know, if you're operating homoiopathes, well, you're going to look for a way to escape. Point number two, there is a lie in every escape. There is a lie in every escape. We learn to lie when we're young, and if we're not sufficiently disciplined, we cultivate it so that we get good at it. And the more we operate homoiopathes, the easier lies come. And to unravel our life is like peeling an onion from one lie to another, so that we ultimately wind up being someone we're not. We've spent our life escaping tests rather than walking into them and through them by the power of God, telling ourselves these really aren't lies. She really is my sister. Number three, there is a weakness in every Abraham. By the way, you are the Abraham, just as I. Remember what I said at the beginning, the good and the godly are human and imperfect. That's you, my friend. Don't tell me how many hours you spend in the scriptures. Don't tell me how many years you've walked with Christ. Don't tell me how many great places you've studied. Don't tell me how many degrees you have in theology. Your life is hanging in the balance of homoiopathies. None of those things I've named protect you from a stupid decision or lies, because you are weak. If Abraham could fall right after building an altar and another altar and having left Ur of the Chaldeans, believe me, you and I can fall and fail. It's a good way to live, by the way, in the fear of our God, in the fear of our awesome God. There's an interesting verse in one of the prophets that people no longer blush. I've noticed that about our times. Rarely do I see anyone blush, even when confronted with wrong, because there's a weakness in every Abraham. Number four, there's a Sarah in every compromise. This is the sad part of homoiopathies. Someone is always taken advantage of. Some innocent child is hurt. Some unsuspecting mate is shocked. You once thought that husband of yours was faithful, only to find out later that there were other women. You once believed that that person you went into partnership would really be loyal to you, and you've come to realize he's ripped you off. And you're really an innocent victim. You're the Sarah in that compromise. The illustrations are many, and I'll not take the time for more. My point is, no one sins all alone. No one sins all alone. You may sin in secret, but that secret will become known. And those who have trusted you will look and feel so foolish, so taken advantage of. Your life is in concentric circles, surrounded by people who've connected themselves to you, and most of them trust you. Tragically, Sarah, who is nothing but truly an innocent victim, winds up in Pharaoh's harem. Must have thought before night fell, what on earth am I doing in here? How could he have done that to me? Fifth and finally, there's a Pharaoh in every Egypt. There are those who do not know the Lord. There are those who are in a completely different category from you as you live your Christian life. They may not tell you, but they're watching you. I don't know of a significant believer in a place of leadership or even in a place where you're making the name of Christ known that isn't being watched. Opinions are being formed. What an opportunity Abram spoiled when he led his wife into this compromise. But I honestly can't cluck my tongue at Abram, for I too have compromised. So have you. Times when I should have spoken and I didn't. Times when I should have kept quiet and I talked. Times when I broke a confidence. Times when I made up a story that made me look better. The possibilities are endless. There's a famine in every life. There's a lie in every escape. There's a weakness in every Abraham. Unfortunately, there's a Sarah in every compromise. And there's a Pharaoh in every Egypt. Think. Think about this life and remember, Homoiopathes is still alive and well. No one is immune. Let's bow our heads. Possibly I'm speaking today to an Abraham, and you've made a mess of some things, and it's time for you to deal with it and unravel the mess, take responsibility, and make things right before others are hurt even more. Decisions that need to be made. Never underestimate the fallout of carnality. If this message frightens you, I'm grateful. We live a little proud in this country and in our times, especially if you've got a little stashed away. You don't have to worry too much about where the next meal comes from. A couple of cars in our garages. Nice place to live. How easy to forget your one decision from a failure or a fall. There are those who trust you, and I urge you to live up to that trust. If you have been living a lie, I urge you to acknowledge it, confess it, turn from it, and move in a whole new direction. But I need to warn you, you will carry the homoiopathes with you. We have it till we die. but it need not dominate us. And just in case we have a Pharaoh in our midst, let me urge you with the thought, not all believers are hypocrites. You need to fix your eyes on the one who is perfect, who will never let you down, who is our God and Savior, meaning he is worthy of your worship, and he's the only one. Turn to him. Lay before him this offense, these painful experiences, the brokenness of your fractured life. Acknowledge the fact that you are sinful, living with this old nature, and without his help, you can't make it. And then trust him as your Savior. Share it with us. We have people on our staff that you can connect with that can touch you in the area of your life where you need help. They're trained to listen, care, and assist you. Our Father, we thank you for giving us the truth in a section of Scripture others would see as irrelevant and dull and uninteresting. May we realize that all Scripture is given for our own admonition, for our learning, that we through patience and comfort brought by the Scriptures have hope. Thank you, Father, for never leaving us or abandoning us. Thank you for never going on vacation. Thank you for not even slumbering or going to sleep. Thank you also for never looking the other way. You are intimately acquainted with all our ways. And may we realize this and turn to you, the God of all grace, for forgiveness and mercy and a reason to go on. And I pray for anyone in this sound of my voice who finds himself in this kind of predicament that it will stop today, that you will capture their hearts and turn them back to yourself. It's in the matchless name of Christ, our victorious Savior, that we commit this message to you and we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
Our sensitive topic today, when the faithful fail. You're listening to Insight for Living and the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. To access the CDs for the series or the downloadable audio files, go to insightworld.org. Biographical studies are among Chuck's favorites to deliver. He often says that real-life stories have a way of putting flesh on the truth. That's certainly the case with his 22-part series called Abraham, One Nomad's Amazing Journey of Faith. To purchase the CDs or the downloadable audio files, go to insight.org. As a complement to this series, Chuck selected a powerful book for you to read. Carol Kent tells her personal story of love, loss, and redemption in a book that chronicles the journey alongside her son. It's titled, When I Lay My Isaac Down, Unshakable Faith in Unthinkable Circumstances. And a copy is yours when you give a donation to support Chuck's daily Bible teaching on your station. At Insight for Living, we strongly believe that God's faithfulness is never more evident than when the hurricane churns through a town, or fires ravage entire mountains, or when senseless killers wreak havoc on innocent people. Carol's personal story is about one of the worst kinds of pain that a parent could ever endure, and the grace of God through it all. And it's a natural complement to our study on Abraham's journey. We want you to have a copy of her inspirational story, When I Lay My Isaac Down. If you're listening in the United States, request your copy by calling 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. From the beginning, Insight for Living has helped men and women face life with the God-given courage that only comes from applying God's Word. Your financial support right now will help people facing unthinkable circumstances find the courage to persevere. Will you be among those who give a much-needed donation today? If you're listening in the United States, you can give by calling 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org.
Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Are you looking for a way to reconnect with your family? Engage in a very special way with your spouse? Well, I'm hoping you'll join me for a one-week adventure to the Alaskan frontier.
The cool ocean breeze, the majestic mountains, standing arm in arm, awestruck by the panorama of beautiful views.
Step into the quaint seaside villages of that wild frontier. Create a world of memories you'll never forget.
Restore your sense of wonder and refresh your marriage. And reconnect with God in daily teachings from Chuck Swindoll.
We'll sing together and study God's Word together. We'll enjoy a lot of laughter. And of course, we'll explore the majestic beauty of God's creation.
Get away with God together on the Insight for Living Cruise to Alaska. Join us June 30th through July 7th, 2018. Call 1-888-447-0444. That's 1-888-447-0444. Or learn more at insight.org/events.
The Insight for Living Tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend.
When our study of Abraham continues tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll describes a decision that led to a disaster. That's next time on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, When the Faithful Fail, was copyrighted in 2012 and 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.